Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabi wa man tabi'ahum wa walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of the mankind and all of the jinnkind for one purpose, and that is to recognize and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says very, very clearly in the Quran, I have created all of mankind, all of jinnkind, only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah told His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until yaqeen comes to you. Thing of certainty comes to you, and that is death. Go on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your life until death comes to you. And everything else that Allah ta'ala has given us, be it our businesses, our education, our family, all of this is just to facilitate and make it easy for us to fulfill the objective of our lives, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The polytheists in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikeen, they also believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in Allah ta'ala to be the supreme being. But they, the supreme being. Allah ta'ala says in Quran Sharif, وَلَإِنْ سَأَلْتَهُ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ أَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ If they ask Abu Lahab, ask Abu Jahl, ask Utba, ask Sheba, all these prominent kuffar, ask them, who created the skies, who created the earth, they will say Allah Ta'ala created it, the earth. Allah Ta'ala created the sky. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the supreme being. They believed Allah Ta'ala to be the mighty being. But they believed that Allah Ta'ala could not be reached directly. You could not be reached directly. Rather, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to go via Lat, Manat, Uzza, their idols. You have to go via these idols to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى That we are worshipping these idols so that we can gain proximity. Through the worship of these idols, we can draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the idols. Allah refers to them, and the kuffar refers to them as shufa'a, intermediaries, intercessors before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was sent at this time, at this period when people had this belief, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to the people and he debunked this idea that you can only reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via an idol, via Lat, Manat, Uzza. Rather, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam taught us and showed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who can be reached directly. And the way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly is that when a person stands in salah and he says Allahu Akbar and he raises his hand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the person has opened up a direct line. He has open communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why ulama mentioned that the wisdom, the hikmah behind the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came to the injunction of hajj, of zakat, of fasting, the laws came from the skies onto the earth, revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the face of the earth. But when it came to the hukam, the injunction of salam, Allah ta'ala took Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up into the skies, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam the injunction of salah. To the wisdom behind this, my dear, but to show that when a person performs salah, like how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam went up to the heavens to receive the hukam of salah, we ordinary believers, normal Muslims, when we make Allahu Akbar, the Arabic saying goes, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Salah is the mi'raj of a believer. When we say Allahu Akbar and we raise our hands, we are actually going on our own little mi'raj directly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have an open communication and open line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and for 23 years, or for the period when salah was farz, for a large portion of his life, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached to us over and over again, reiterated, emphasized upon us the importance of salah, the role that salah plays in the life of a believer. Perhaps, my dear brothers, the one single ahadith that displays to us most the importance of salah in the life of a believer. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in the dying moments of his blessed life. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is passing away. You know, the part time when a person is passing away, the advices given at that time are very, very pertinent to those who are beloved to this person. Many times people will say, you know, my father, just before he passed away, he gave me this instruction, or he gave me this advice, or my mother told me this, or he said this to me, and I hold on to the advice of my father. I hold on lifelong to the advice of my mother. Likewise, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is passing away. And the more pious the person is, the more pertinent those advices become. And here, this is not any ordinary pious person is passing away, rather Sayyidul Abrar sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most pious of all the pious, is passing away. And at the dying moments of his life, what are the words on the beloved tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? As-salata, as-salata, wa ma malakat aymanukum. O my ummah, O my sahaba, O my ummah, hold on to your salah. Be regular with your salah. Remain firm upon your salah. And be kind to the slaves that Allah Ta'ala has given you in your ownership. Our mother Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in those dying moments, he continued to repeat these words, as-salah, as-salah, as-salah. And the only reason why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stopped saying these words, because he did not have the strength any longer to go on saying these words, as-salah, 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 wa malakat imanukum. Had he had the strength, Allah's Nabi, right until he passed away, he would have been reminding us, as-salah, as-salah, as-salah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala al majiya badiz, we know the famous incident. In the last days of his life, he comes out for Fajr Salah. He commences the Fajr Salah. Whilst he is reading his Fajr Salah, leading the Fajr Salah, Abu Lu'lu al Majusi comes. Abu Lu'lu, the fire worshipper, he comes and he stabs Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Amir al-Mu'mineen falls unconscious due to the excessive bleeding. He is now carried to his home. People at home are trying to wake up Amir al-Mu'mineen, but they are failing, they are unable to wake him up. Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu ta'ala enters the home. And they tell him that, oh, Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu anhu, that Amirul Mu'mineen is not waking him up. Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu anhu suggests, and he says, that wake up Amirul Mu'mineen. And the best way, the only way, and the best way to wake up Amirul Mu'mineen from his unconscious state is to call him to Salah. If there is any life left in Amirul Mu'mineen, he will definitely respond to the call of Salah. The people say, As-Salah ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, As-Salah ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Lo and behold, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, wakes up and he says, Naam, As-Salah, As-Salah, la hadza wa la haqqa liman tarakaha. He says, yes, yes, Salah. There is no position in Islam. There is no place in Islam. That person does not have a share in Islam who discards his Salah. Amir al-Mu'mineen, before the sun rises, In his injured state, he stands up and he performs his salah. And then he asks, Asalla an-nas, that I was stabbed during the Fajr salah. And did the rest of the Jamaat, did the rest of the Muslims complete the salah? They say, yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, they had completed the salah. He says, luckily, because there is no place in Islam for that person who discards his salah. And this statement, my dear brothers, of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that there is no place in Islam for that person who discards his salah, brings us to a very, very important issue. And not only an important issue, but a very, very concerning issue. We find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in numerous hadith, he has likened discarding of salah to kufr. He has stated that discarding of salah is tantamount to kufr. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salatu imaduddin. That salah is the pillar of deen. Just as we have these pillars in this masjid, my dear brothers. These pillars are not here for aesthetic purposes. They are not here just to make the masjid look nice. Rather, they serve a very important function. And that is to hold up the structure above it. Remove these pillars and the structure will come crashing down. Likewise, as-salatu imaduddin. Salah is that central pillar of Islam, that when it is present, then the entire edifice, the entire structure, the entire building of the person's deen is erect and standing. But as soon as the pillar of salah is removed from the life of a person, the entire deen of the person, the entire structure of the deen, the edifice of the deen of this person comes crashing down. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bayn al-mar'i wa bayn al-kufri tarku salah." On one hand you have iman, you have a mu'min, you have a believer. On the other side you have kufr, you have disbelief. between these two groups, between these two parts, there is a buffer, there is a wall, there is a barrier, and that barrier is Islam. If a person does not erect this barrier in his life, he does not have this barrier between him and kufr, when the barrier is removed, then the person slides into kufr, and now he has done action that is tantamount to kufr. Hazrat Abdullah bin Shaqiq, rahmatullah alayhi, a great tabi'i, he says that I met numerous sahaba, and sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu will not regard discarding anything of the actions of deen to be kufr except salah. Understand this, Marib, what is he saying? He is saying that if you had to ask a sahabi, is leaving out hajj, when hajj was farz upon me, is leaving out hajj an act of kufr? The sahabi would reply, it's a very major sin, a very, very serious sin for a person to leave out hajj when hajj is farz upon him. But a person leaving out hajj is not a kafir. Ask a sahabi, if a person does not discharge his zakat, is he a kafir? Sahaba would say, a major, major sin. A very, very serious sin not to pay your zakat when zakat is due. But the person does not become kafir. If a person does not fast in the month of Ramadan, is the person a kafir? Sahaba would say, major sin, a serious sin. But the person does not become a kafir. Ask sahaba, if a person leaves out performing salah, does he become a kafir? This hadith is telling us, yes, the person becomes a kafir. Based upon the outward meaning of this hadith, my dear brothers, of these many ahadiths, some great scholars, like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, are of the opinion that a person who totally discards salah in his life, that person loses his iman, and that person becomes a kafir. Hazrat Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullahi, on many occasions, he had explained this hadith, and he would say, may Allah have mercy upon people like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, and Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, who they have given some interpretation of the hadith, and they say a person who leaves out salah does not become a kafir. But the question is, my dear brothers, when the outward meaning of this hadith is that a person who does not perform salah becomes a kafir, when the view of many of the sahaba were that a person who leaves out salah becomes a kafir, when great scholars like Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi say that a person leaves out salah becomes a kafir, the question is, my dear brothers, is it worth taking a chance? Is it worth taking a chance? My dear brothers, today we as an ummah, we have many, many difficulties, many, many hardships, many, many problems. That we agree upon. We have major challenges that we are facing. But the mistake that we are making, my dear brothers, we think because our problems are so huge, our problems are so intricate, so we need some novel ideas. We need some fancy and intricate ideas to resolve our problems, as a solution to our problems. That is where we are making the mistake, my dear brothers. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept our success. Allah ta'ala has kept the solution to our problems in the basics of deen. Today, we as an ummah, we have been decimated. We have been destroyed right to our foundation. We are in a rebuilding, reconstruction phase. And a person who is reconstructing a broken down building, he does not start from the roof downwards, but rather you start from the foundation upwards. We have to go back to the basics of the deen. Today we want to talk about the big things. A political power, military power, scientific advancement. Definitely these things are in their place. I'm not against it. It's in its place. But we are trying to start off with the big things. Trying to build the roof first. Rather, we need to build and make our foundation solid. And then as we go along, then we will get the other things in place. Allah has made it such that when we get the basics right, everything else falls into place. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, medieval this, analyze this. He writes a letter during his khilafat, his rule, arguably at that time the most powerful leader in the world. At the height of his khilafat, ruling over 3.6 million square kilometers of land. He has various governors ruling over the various areas that are controlled by the Muslims. He writes a letter to all of his governors. And what do you think? What do you think that the contents of this letter was? Perhaps it was Umar radiallahu with all his political prowess. Perhaps it was some political maneuver. Perhaps it was some military maneuver. Perhaps some idea how we can increase the revenue to Adawla Islamia, to the Islamic State. No, my dear brothers, what are the contents of the letter? Amirul Mu'mineen, the most powerful leader in the world, writing to his governors ruling over large tracts of land, large areas of land. Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. that, oh my governors, the most important thing in my eyes, the most important thing for you to do is to be regular with your salah. فَمَنْ حَفِظَهَا وَحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا حَفِظَ دِينَ. That person who's pabund with his salah, he's regular with his salah, he looks after his salah, then that person is looked after and he has taken care of his deen. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ. But a person who cannot look after even the most fundamental, the most basic thing of deen, of salah, then how can we trust that person to look after anything else? How can we trust that person to be a governor and look after major things when he cannot even look after the basic thing of deen, and that is the issue of salah. So my dear brothers, when we as the ummah facing these many, many challenges, when we will get the basics right, when we will get the fundamentals right. I know many times people argue and they pick on ulama, that ulama, Mawlana, we have such major issues. You know what's going on in the Middle East, in Iran, and going on in Palestine, and locally with the elections coming up. And you come to the masjid and speak about salah. This objection is based upon a lack of understanding. Allah has tied up our victory, our help. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. The ummah can become the political leaders of the world. The ummah can become the multi-might of the world. But if the ummah does not have salah in their life, the ummah will never ever be successful. The solution is to get back to our the basics, and that is to come back onto the basics of deen. And amongst the most basics of deen is as-salah. That is why, my dear brothers, when we will get the salah right, Allah will make everything else fall into place. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who conquered the world after the life of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, and became governors of the various places, they did not attend any university and get a degree in political science. They were never, many of them were not even leaders prior to accepting Islam. But when they had the basics right, Allah made everything fall into place. Allah made them governors, and not any ordinary governors, but the best governors and the best rulers that the world has ever seen. There is one of the ulama before Ramadan, he traveled to Afghanistan. He said he went to Afghanistan. There, subhanAllah, we know the people of Afghanistan and their jazbah and the enthusiasm for deen. He says there, subhanAllah, we have the ulama are running the country. They are ulama who studied in Darul Ulums. They have not attended universities. They have not got degrees in political science, anything as well. But he says, subhanAllah, the person, the alim, in the morning from Fajr to 9 o'clock, he's teaching Bukhari Sharif in the Darul Ulum. And then from 9 o'clock to Maghrib Salah, the person is a high ranking official in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Get our basics right and Allah will make everything fall into place. And they are doing a sterling job. That is why if you are following the news, last year 2023, the Afghani, the currency of Afghanistan was the third best performing currency in the world. The third best performing currency in the world. Get our basics right and Allah will make every single thing fall into place. Today, my dear brothers, a common complaint that people have, financial difficulties, financial constraints. Quran Sharif tells us, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, command your family to perform salah. And the best way to teach your family to perform salah is to lead by example. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You yourself be regular with salah. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. Your rozi, your rizq, your sustenance, that is not your duty. We will take care of it. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ. We are not asking you to provide. We have not made it incumbent upon you to provide. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ. We will provide for you. Under the commentary of this hadith, Imam Ibn Kathir rahimullah, of this ayat, Imam Ibn Kathir rahimullah says, he mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were facing some sort of financial difficulty, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, ya ahla, O my beloved wives, صلوا صلوا, perform salah, perform salah, Allah will remove these difficulties. In Tirmidhi Sharif, there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a hadith Qudsi, hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith Sharif says, Allah ta'ala says, O Ibn Adam, if you will take out time for my ibadat, if you will take out time to worship me, if you will take out time to come to the masjid and perform salah, I promise you two things. Number one, I will make you independent of the people. I will not make you dependent upon any of the makhluk. And secondly, I will remove poverty from your life. But if you will not take out time to worship me, you will not wake up in the morning to come to the masjid, you will not close your business to come to the masjid, then two things will happen. I will make you lifelong dependent upon others, and I will never ever remove poverty from your life. The irony, my dear one, is that today, a person says, I cannot close my shop at 4:15, 4:30 to go for Asr Namaz, because closing time is 5:00, I'm going to lose half an hour, 45 minutes of trading time. Whereas Allah says, come for my salah, come for salah, and I will sort you out. Whereas we think, by keeping our shop open and not coming for salah, in this way I'll be provided for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, I like to say at the end, my dear brothers, there comes a point in the life of a person where the stark reality of matters dawns upon the person. There comes a point in life where the stark reality of matters dawns upon a person. A person has lost a loved one. And he cannot get over the loss of that person. And then the day comes when the person realizes, you know what, this person is gone, I have to let go now, I have to move on with life. A person is in a troubled relationship with his spouse, and the person is trying to save the marriage. And then the day comes where it dawns upon him that this marriage is doomed for destruction, it's better for us to go our own ways. A person starts off feeling a bit unwell, body pain, a bit of fever. This is nothing serious to worry about. But then when the chest pain starts, and find it difficult to breathe, now he realizes, now matters are serious. My dear brothers, if we are the reciters of the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but we are the reciters of the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I do not have salah in my life, the reality is, my dear person, I am an unfortunate person in the eyes of Allah ta'ala. I'm an unlucky person, I'm a deprived person. Allah is depriving me from fulfilling the objective of my life. As I mentioned at the beginning, Allah is depriving me. It is not that I'm not going to a salah. Rather, it is Allah is depriving me. I'm a deprived, unlucky person. Allah is depriving me from coming to His house, coming to the masjid, and saying Allahu Akbar, and fulfilling the objective of my life, and that is to take this forehead and bow it down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my dear brothers, we can turn it around by making a concerted effort, a concerted intention, that from this day onward, from this moment onwards, I'm changing it around. From now on, I'll perform all my salah. And how all my salah? Ala al-wajhil akmal, in the best way. Today, when it comes to the matters of this world, we want everything to the best, perfect, as the best as money can buy. I was mentioning to some young friends, today a person has a nice M3, 2024 M3, with those fancy mags, and then those mags get stolen. The person never ever says, you know what, I'll buy some normal tires with wheel caps and put it on my latest M3. No, even if I have to take a loan, I'll put those mags on again because I want it perfect. He never says, no, the tires will do the job. They'll take me from A to place B. It will do the job. He never says that. But when it comes to salah, I'm reading my salah. At least I'm reading my salah at home. At least I came to the masjid 5 minutes before sunset and I read my salah. MashaAllah, Allah reward us. You read your salah, my dear brothers. But everything else you want perfect. When it comes to my salah, at least I read my salah at home. At least I read my salah before the sunset. Rather, mit alal wajil akmal, the perfect way to perform salah, for a man to perform salah, is for a man to come to the masjid, and together with the jama'atul muslimin, shoulder to shoulder as brothers, perform salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us understanding.